What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Welcome back, All the Smoke, the beautiful Blue Wire Studio in the Wynn Hotel. All the Smoke Time NASCAR, man. We got a very special guest today. You know, someone I've looked up to in this sport because this is not really a sport for our people. And this guy has definitely held it down for all of us. So welcome to the show today, Bubba Wallace.
What up?
Bubba, man, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, man. How are you?
Man, we're good. We're good. How's life? You told you got into town Wednesday. You got a chance to play some golf. You got a big race this weekend. What's going on in your personal life right now?
Life is actually really good. My fiance, we flew out here with another couple that we're really good friends with. And just come out here to relax a little bit. Kind of hard to do in Vegas, right? So upbeat here. But just getting away from the madness for a little bit. I've played 72 holes in the last 4 days.
Okay, so you're getting it in.
Yeah, I'm trying to. The end of the season's creeping up, so we're kind of getting a little antsy,
right?
Ready for it to end. But man, we've been really solid second half of the year, and it's been fun.
Talks, as we learned today when we did our little pace car.
Yeah,
I didn't know your guys' season's from January to almost November, mid November.
So we are the first week of February to the first week of November.
That's a long
with one
off week. Yeah, that's they said one office. So every weekend you guys are racing somewhere.
Yep, that's right. Always on the road.
What a mental grind. Yeah. You also mentioned your fiance. Congratulations. Yeah. You got a wedding date set yet? Jack just got married last year.
Yeah. Congratulations, brother.
I'm next in line.
To you too. Is that right?
Yeah, trying to be.
There you go. Yeah, our date is New Year's Eve. So
dope. Okay.
I mean, we have a small window where we can pick from, unless we do a midweek wedding. But not everybody on our guest list can make that happen. So we're doing New Year's Eve, and we're excited about that. No, we're doing it in Charlotte.
Okay.
Our guest list is massive.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so it's going to be good to have everybody there and making the most of it. So
nice.
Born and raised in Mobile, Alabama. Talk about your upbringing. What was it like?
Yeah, so I was born in L.A., Lower Alabama. But I moved from there.
I like the way you flipped that.
But I moved from there when I was two. So I really don't remember a damn thing about Mobile. But I moved to Concord, where I currently live now. So the last 27 years, Mobile's just kind of on the birth certificate. I still have an aunt, uncle that lived down there. And, you know, ever since living in Concord, it was just, you know, all about having fun, no responsibilities. And the next thing you know, you get into racing and you climb the ladder. And for me, it was different. They were like, you know, did you see yourself, you know, I've been doing it 20 years now. 20 years ago, like starting out, like this is where you wanted to be.
Mm.
Hell no.
Really?
Didn't watch it. Didn't, you know, not in a negative way. Didn't care for it. Like
right.
We lived 15 minutes from the racetrack. Could hear him racing, but never was like, hey, what's that?
Right.
And next thing you know, it was like we would race in one series, get really good at it, move to the next one, get really good at it, keep moving. And the next thing you know, it's like, hey, NASCAR's next. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Let's keep going.
That's
it.
You mentioned, so you're in Concord. Is that where you went to high school at and everything?
Yep.
So what is that like? Because I know now I go back, I do some work in Sacramento with the Kings, and I go back, and it's kind of mixed. I feel like you can't get the love without the hate. How is the reception of you? Because you've kind of pretty much been in your hometown as a star now as well.
Yeah, so it's crazy. Concord, my high school, we had Corey LaJoy. He was 2 years older than me. He races in the Cup Series now. Myself. Yeah, Corey Seager, you know, who plays for the Rangers now. Bradley Pinion, who I think is the kicker for the Bucks, maybe. Okay. And then Justin Seager, the Seager boys,
brothers.
All three of them. We all went to all school together. So it's kind of crazy.
That turned out some pros, huh?
Yeah.
In different, all different spaces.
Yeah, exactly. So, but Concord, you know, it's all industry people that you see. So, if they love you, hate you, you see them every Sunday. But the notoriety and the recognition has definitely gone up. But it's still kind of more in like race markets and stuff too. So it's been cool. It's been a tough kind of a fun journey to navigate.
Yeah. You used to hoop. What happened with that?
I used to just hold the picture in my little rec ball, you know.
Just to make your mom happy?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wasn't very good. Looking back, I wasn't very good. Yeah. But yeah, I followed my sister's footsteps in that. So my sister was a baller.
How'd you get into racing cars?
I was 9, and we had just moved into a new house, moved away from, grew up in a neighborhood, had all the friends, all the kids, all went to school together, and then we moved away from that. Mm. So I hated life.
That's tough.
Yeah. We moved 15 minutes down the road, still in Concord. But all new school, and my dad actually ended up buying a Harley Davidson, and he wanted to get it fixed up, make it look good, customize it out. And a family friend, Chris Rogers, who owned that bike shop, he raced go-karts out of the back, and we formed a great relationship with him, and he invited us to come out one day, and we were sitting in the stands watching kids go around, and my dad was like, what do you think? My dad had a go-kart, and he attempted to race 3 times, and he flipped all 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. Which was easy to do. Fortunately, I've never flipped yet, and I've come close. But yeah, it was something that even my dad, when my dad did it, I was like, I want to do this. I didn't want to do that. I didn't have a dream to do that. But when he asked if I wanted to, you know, attempt it finally, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, there was kids my age that are doing it, and it seemed like they were having fun. And we went racing. I had just made the second year AAU basketball team the week before and called them up. Hey, I won't be in this season, and never look back.
I'm hanging up my shoes, huh?
That's it.
But you made the team.
I made the team.
Yeah. So you was all right.
Yeah, I was okay. I was better defense than offense.
So. There you go. Yeah. So I made 15 years out of being better than defense and offense. Everyone thinks, you know, you jump in the car, we go fast on the freeway, and I can race. What are some things about NASCAR that people have a misconception about of just how tough it really is?
Yeah, it's you know, people think, you know, 3.5-4 hours you're in a race car. That's a long time. So stamina side has got to be in check. But what's got to be a top priority is the mental state. Mm. Like, as soon as you have a lapse of mindset, that's when the mistakes happen, right? You start thinking, man, I'm getting a little tired. Bam, you hit the fence. And it's like, damn, you just lost 2/10, you know? And so, like, when I was leading the last 60 laps at Kansas earlier this year, you know, it was those moments of, oh, man, you know, we're going to win. You know, I'm feeling it. And I would be like, hey, you know, fucking stop. You know, think about hitting your marks and mm-hmm. making sure that you don't set yourself up for failure. And so it's super tough to do because you can start to wander in those times, especially when you get sprung out and you're running kind of just by yourself. It's tough to do. So the mental state has to be very tough. And me, I'm always calculating, whether it's in the race car or on the regular roads, of how to get to the destination the fastest. Not speeding, but, you know, it's like 6 cars are in one lane, 1 car's in the other. Well, this lane's going to move. Okay, there's a semi truck sitting at the first car in line, is a semi truck, and I got to get over in 200 feet. I'm going to be him.
Mm-hmm.
And so my fiance is starting to pick up on that, because usually she would sit behind the semi and it's mm-hmm. like, oh, killing me. But I noticed now, like, my mind is always thinking like, oh, let's see, let's subtract that car. Let's see if I can fit in that hole. And it's always like that.
I love to know now that my mind is like a NASCAR driver on the street. I'm doing the same shit.
Yes,
I'm doing the same. You can ask Jelani the way I drive. I'm always navigating. There's 2 cars over here. There's 1. I think I can get that little.
Yeah. And it's not really like cutting them off. It's not like shoving your nose in there. It's like, oh, we call it sleeping on restart. When a car doesn't take off or creates a hole at a stoplight,
you can take advantage of
sleeping on the restart.
Most of the time, it's on the phone on the restart.
Yeah.
They'll be on their phone.
Exactly.
I'm going to take that.
Yes.
I was surprised to hear today when we were at the track that you guys can't just get out and race around the track whenever you want. And that was crazy to me. So how do you, outside of your car, stay fit? Obviously, you said the big part is mental, but what kind of stuff do you do for training?
So we have, our biggest thing is all 3 manufacturers in the sport have a multi-million-dollar simulation rig. It's full motion. It's basically the center section of our race car on actuators that move it. And
just like
real life, although it's the virtual side. Mm-hmm. And for me, some drivers can get in and make it happen and be with it, but I have a hard time like disconnecting, like, hey, reality versus virtual. So I get so mad. I'm like, this isn't real. They're like, no shit, it's virtual.
Right.
But you can develop bad habits doing that. So you go to these places. The biggest advantage for me is when we go to like road courses. So we went to the Roval in Charlotte last weekend. And on Wednesday before, we were in there for a couple hours. And it's like, okay, I remember this bump. I remember this corner now. It flows after this one. Like, okay, it feels good. But then you start running more laps and laps and laps, and the thing's not really vibing with you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh shit, well, when I get there in real life, is this going to happen?
Right.
So you go into it hesitant, and when you're hesitant in a race car, you're slower. And so it's, you got to take some of the stuff with a grain of salt, but that's probably the biggest tool for everybody in the field is simulation time. And it's not just a video game that you turn on and press play. And, you know, we can take our setup. Our setup is all built up by numbers that you plug into the computer. And so you feel everything. And so they're like, hey, we want to make a change. They type in something different, send it out. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I felt that.
I felt that
in the right rear on entry into 1. And it's like, okay, we're going to put that in the car.
That's serious.
So it's pretty advanced. So that's the cool thing about it.
Dope.
You spoke to the mental side of it. I mean, for mentally for us, it's, you know, it's watching film, watching our opponent, who we're guarding, how we play it. Is it similar? Do you guys watch film? What kind of stuff do you do mentally to stay sharp?
Yep. So we have now, you know, being a part of this team, you know, Denny, who is co-owner with MJ, we race against him. He is big in the data analytics stuff. So looking at film and all this stuff. I've never really been big on that. There's a software that had come out, I think 2018, called SMT. And it's basically like a video game to where you can plug in, take your car versus my car, and you can match them up head to head, and you can see what you're doing. You can see your throttle application, your brake application, your steering traces. So you can see like, oh, this is how you get around this track. So it kind of took the art away, because before it was like, man, how's Bubba driving in that? Like, what's he doing?
Secret, right?
Well, it's like I'm doing something with the wheel at the brake at the same time. So now all your data pops up on the screen. And so you can use that.
Is that an advantage or disadvantage? Like, I mean, probably an advantage to learn, but...
It's an advantage to learn, but it's like, well, shit. You know, everybody's going to copy what I'm doing when we're good there. So... Mm. It's part of it. We've accepted it. We've adapted to it. But you go back and rewatch races. We have a bunch of engineers that will put in a OneNote, a debrief sheet of things to look at, and makes it pretty easy heading into races. So,
2010 Rookie of the Year honors, first ever African American to receive the award.
Okay.
Congratulations, I. Although, you know, we're 12 years later, but that's dope. Original thoughts when that happened?
Yeah, I think I had to think like 2010. Where was that at?
That's a while ago, right?
It was.
I was in Charlotte playing for the Bobcats.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
In the streets doing some other things too, but that's not that's not.
I took him to the playoffs.
That's not for this show.
I took him to the playoffs for the first time. Yeah, did that.
But it was one of those deals that we were just racing to race, and back then. That series was so stout. Like, everybody in 2010 is who I'm racing against now in the cup level.
Mm.
Yeah, majority, all the young kids. There's like 7 or 8 of us. And so it's the same thing today. You had to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that was a really cool feature for us to win. And the way it happened was dramatic fashion. Our last race of that season was Dover, Delaware. And I don't know if you've ever been in that casino up there in Dover. Mm-hmm. It's a casino, it's a horse track. But it has a mile concrete track around it. It's one of the baddest racetracks to go to. It's
in a good way?
In a good way.
Okay.
It's a roller coaster. And so going into there, the guy that was helping run our program at that time, Andy Santerre, he said, hey, I've raced here a lot of times in this series, and turn one is tricky. Like, you're going to have to drive over the hump into turn one and let the car settle. And so we fire off in practice, and then... You know, you go to these places for the first time. These are cup tracks for the first time, and you're like, oh, this place is massive. You know, it's like coming to Vegas for the first time mm-hmm. when you live in a small podunk city. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, this is incredible. And so you figure it all out as you're going. So I go out, get up through the gears, and I go through 3 and 4, and it's a little rough. You're kind of bouncing around and come by to take the green, and you go over the hump, like you said, but it's like a ski jump. And you come down and slam the ground.
In the air.
You don't, but it feels like it. Yeah, the sensation mm-hmm. is like, oh. Mm-hmm. And you get slammed down. And I said, fuck that. Absolutely not. Like, I was terrified of the place. And I'll take this to my grave. The whole weekend, we had motor problems. The motor was stumbling. Couldn't ever get it figured out. So I was slow to begin with. So I was like, thank God. And the guy that we were battling, lap 27, he blew a right front tire. And so it was like, oh, sweet. That sealed the fate for winning the Rookie of the Year. And then lap 37, I blew a tire in the fence.
Mm.
So it was like,
wow.
Yeah.
Comes at you fast.
Yes. So fast forward to the next year, I went into that same place and I was like, all right, I'm going to bring it.
I'm ready.
You know, forget that. Set on the pole, won the race, you know, did the whole deal.
So yeah. We kind of feel like in the NBA, you know, you don't really know that everyone could play basketball, obviously, and you see some tremendous rookies and stuff, but we feel like you don't really learn the game until like your third or fourth year.
Absolutely.
Similar in your sport, you know, to learn the nuances once you kind of get your feet under you.
For sure. So my deal was a little different. And the way to get into the cup level is the way it used to be. Used to be whoever was the best driver is like, hey, we want you to come drive. Well, the sport's gotten really, really expensive. I mean, it's multi-millions of dollars to run a competitive cup team. And now it's like, okay, you're pretty good, but how much money are you bringing? You know, it's like some kids, I'm sure we always say that there's probably the best race car driver that was somewhere out there that never got an opportunity.
They didn't have the money.
Because they didn't have the money to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of one of the last ones to be able to come through without money. And, you know, I had enough talent to compete, but obviously, yeah, the skin color, you know, people were like, oh, he happens to be good too. We're going to give him a shot. Mm. And so that helped out and we attracted some sponsors, but some, like for the longest time, we could never get sponsors.
I remember you talking about that publicly too.
Yeah. And it was like super frustrating because no offense to some of my friends, but they're all kind of boring and cookie cutter. Right. Mm-hmm. And I show up and I'm ready to, you know, change up the scene. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, hey, sponsors would want that. Right. Anyways, we're here now. We're in a great spot with sponsorship. Moneyline's partner. So that's great. Go.
Shout out Moneyline.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Got your plug. Yeah. But coming up, you know, and when I got to the cup level, I was driving for the 43, Richard Petty, the king. And
The king.
And historically, they were a mid-pack team, you know, not downplaying it. They were mid-pack. They would have four chances to win races. That was Daytona and Talladega. And, you know, throw in a couple surprise races here and there. And so for me, at that time, it was trying to figure out, like, okay, I'm trying to be really competitive. I want to go win. But the car is sometimes not capable enough to do that. Mm-hmm. And so you start to build up a lot of self-doubt. And you go into these situations like, you know, this is all I got. And then sometimes it's the opposite. The car is really good and I failed to deliver.
Wow.
And so, you know, I did three years with them. And we kept improving each and every year. But it was still like a big step to get to the top 10 tier, right? And so I looked at this opportunity at 2311 when MJ and Denny came together and decided to make this all happen. It was like, okay, you know, this is a team that's going to take, let's say, a year to get our feet wet and get everything underneath us to go out and be competitive and go win races. And still, our cars are really fast. We had some races where, you know, we have a partnership with another race team that's kind of like our mothership, JGR, Joe Gibbs Racing. And, you know, their cars are running 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I'm fifth running 20th.
Wow.
And it's like, dude, you still don't have it. The cars are the same now. Like, you can't use that excuse. And things started to finally click at the end of last year, 10 races left. Crew chief, we brought in Booty, who's my crew chief now. And things started to click. And it was like, okay, well, now we're 15th, you know, 14th, 13th. Climbing a little bit. And we won Talladega, which was big
shake
for our team.
Shake and bake.
That's right. And it was like, okay, it's still a plate race, which is totally different. But then this year it was like, hey, brand new car.
Plate race. What that mean?
Plate race is a restrictor plate race. So basically we're wide open the whole time.
Okay.
And so it's way different than what we'll do at Vegas. Vegas, we're lifting, modulating the car, throttle, all this stuff. Like we're fighting it. Daytona, Talladega, basically sit back, one hand on the wheel, cruise. Although you're 200 miles an hour this far apart from each other.
Yeah.
You know, so it's totally different type of racing. And when one wrecks, 20 wrecks.
Yeah. Mm. Everybody. Yeah.
So your chances of winning are really, really high if you can miss the wrecks. Mm-hmm. But you still got to be good though.
Right.
So if we say Vegas is 55-45 luck versus skill, Daytona and Talladega is 70% luck, 30% skill.
Wow.
So it's a big jump. But what I was getting at is we come into the season and I kind of noticed like about five races in, I'm like, we're pretty solid here. If we can put it together, like we're going to start clicking here. And we had some issues of our own doing, my own doing, wrecking the car, bad pit stops, whatever, you name it. The whole team was not, the stars were not aligned for our team. But 2 months ago, 3 months ago now, we've been a top five car every week. And it's like, okay, this is what it takes.
Chemistry.
takes that. But then for me, the mindset and the skill set, my crew chief tells me, and he's like, hey, you drive it so far on entry and make the car work and then worry about the rest later. And it's like, basically like, hey, drive the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll figure it out. And it's like, oh, big difference.
Change the game.
But it took me, you know, 5 years to figure that out. And now it's like, okay, we're getting the respect from the other guys. And it's like, hey, Bubba's car is the one to watch out for.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic,
and at higher risk, get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
In our game, I think it's kind of lost now, but back in the day, like the younger guys used to have the OGs, the mentors. Is it because obviously this is such an individual sport, but are there older guys that you can kind of lean on to soak up game, or it's not really like that in your sport?
No, it is. We have a couple of veterans, we call them. Denny's, he's obviously, I think he's on the end of his career. Obviously, he's purchased the race team and he's been a big help. You got Kevin Harvick, who's been doing it for a while, our teammate Kurt Busch, who's out with concussion protocol stuff, but they've all been big helps. Okay. And they're like, hey, this is what I did in your situation
right.
20 years ago. You need to do this, this, and this. Right. And it's like, nah, man, this, you know, but
that's
you,
old you shit. End
up, yeah, yeah, this is the new age stuff, but
right.
it still carries a lot of weight and a lot of power behind what they say. So it's cool. Yeah.
2020, you joined 2311, MJ, and owned by also Denny Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
How did they reach out?
So Denny and I share the same agent. Mm-hmm. And so Denny and I, we've been around each other. We've had some run-ins throughout the years. And it all started kind of, you know, the race team that I was with, the 43, they were looking to do something new and kind of change the game and rebrand basically. And they wanted Denny to be a part of it in some capacity. And the way it all kind of worked out, like rumor mills start, you know, you can't control the rumor mill bullshit, right?
Right.
Well, then it was like Denny Hamlin, MJ starting a team, which was...
It wasn't even true at the time?
No, it was nothing. And so Denny fired a text to MJ. It was like, ha, look at this crazy tweet, you know? And MJ responded back, well, let me know when you want to make it happen.
Probably off that tequila, that's like, him. Let's make
that's
it happen.
Him. Yeah, and, he, and it was like...
That's him.
Okay. And so in the meantime, I'm still trying to figure out... I had a couple options on the table. And it was like, okay. And then Denny's starting to text me like, hey, man. You know, this may happen.
Mm.
And I'll never forget what I sent him is he was like, dude, this is happening. This is it. This is going to be great. And I sent him the Kobe Bryant video, the one where he's in the press conference and he's not smiling. The reporter asked him, he's like, hey, man, you're up 2-1. Like,
job's not done.
Job's not finished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of moments like, hey, man, this is going to happen. Like, you're about to be a star. Mm-hmm. And then call him on Monday. Hey, what happened? They're like, oh, I don't know. Talk to you later.
That's great.
So I've been let down so many times.
Right.
And so I was like, hey, man, no disrespect, but send him that video. I said, when it's finished and I'm signed, we can go celebrate.
Question, like, so when do you guys, you said you had a couple, is it like free agency somewhat, or how does that changing teams kind of stuff work?
Yeah, somewhat. You know, we lock in, you know, drivers sometimes lock in for 5 years, 1 year, 2 years, okay. You know, and the silly season is what we call it there at the end. And drivers will, you know, exercise their options, see what's available for them. So. I think the biggest one this year so far is Kyle Busch, who's been a Toyota teammate of mine for the last 2 years, but been driving the 18 M&M's car for the last, I don't even know, 18 years, maybe longer than that. And it came to contract year and it was like, wow, Kyle's not going to be back in the 18. And so he just signed a deal with a new team. So it's kind of, it's a big, big change. Yeah, a guy of that stature. Yeah,
right.
You can drive cars for a long time.
What is there an average? I mean, I know what's the average. I mean, if you're good.
Yeah, I don't know. Like our oldest in the field is 44, and still getting it done. I mean, we've had guys racing when they're 70 and 80, not 90s, but in their 70s.
Really?
But they're just kind of in the way at that point.
Going through the motions.
Sure, old ass out
just
the way.
Just because they can.
Just because they can, they'd love it, right?
Right,
I mean,
hell,
you love it. Keep
that's
doing
dope,
it.
That's dope, though.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Any funny stories? Or you can tell us any stories you had, run-ins with MJ?
MJ. I thought it was really cool of how it all came about. Denny went down to play at the Grove, and he texted me. He's like, "Hey, what are you doing at 6:30? I was like, "Nothing, sit on the couch." He's like, "All right, I'm gonna call you." So I'm sitting there, 6:30, 6:45. Denny's notoriously late. 6:45, 7 o'clock rolls around. Calls me. He's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I was like, "Sit on the couch." He's like, "Here, somebody wants to talk to you." And it was MJ. This is my first time ever talking to MJ. And he said, "Hey, if we do this deal, there ain't no more running in the back." Like,
all right,
digging at me. And I'm like, off the rip. Shit. All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Okay. So I thought that was pretty special. But MJ, man, he's competitive and loves to poke the bear and bet against you. And just to push you, just to motivate you.
Yeah.
And he'll like in the moment he's you know joking around and he's like, "Hey, I'll bet against you here," but then he'll pull you to the side and he's like, "You know what I'm doing, right?" And then it get results and he'll be like, "Told you."
He did that to us in practice, so I'm pretty sure he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
On the heels of race weekend, when you're getting ready to go into a race weekend, music wise, what you listening to?
Man, I'm different. I'm into the heavy metal stuff, metalcore, the stuff you can't understand when they're screaming and shouting.
The energy.
Yeah, but it honestly does the exact opposite of what they're outputting. Like it calms me down.
Interesting.
So we always call it angry music for happy people, and it's something that I found in 2004 or 2005, and I liked it mostly because of the drumming. I have a drum set at home. I like to fuck around a little bit every once in a while. And it was nice. It was easy for me to shut out the words and just listen to the drum track and try to replicate that. Like I enjoyed that. Like that was cool. And then the more and more I got into it, got to know some bands and appreciate more the music and the art of it and how normal they are outside of the performance. And then they just turn into a maniac. And so it's like the whole respect level has gone up for them. But, man, just the breakdowns are the best part of that music. And they put you in this mindset where, like, you can't be messed with.
Mm.
And so I enjoy that. But I enjoy all types of music, really.
I got one rule.
Mm.
Don't touch my drum set. Don't touch my drum set.
Well, I might put my nuts on your drum set.
Did you touch my drum set?
Yeah.
You got a lot of victories. What's the sweetest? Anyone stand out?
I'd say all of them are very important to me. 2013, my first truck win at the national level. You know, that was big. That was, you know, late in the season, not really the best of seasons, racing for Kyle Busch and his truck team. He's winning every time he gets in the truck. And then we went out and won Martinsville. And like that was like, hell yeah, we did it. And then we show up the next year, we won 4 more. And then since 2014, I was winless. 2015, 2016. And then 2017, this one's probably number one. 2017, going into that season, lack of funding, lack of sponsorship. From the rip of the start of the year, it was like, don't know if you're going to be able to race all the way throughout the year.
Mm.
We're going to go until we can't no more. So it's like, okay. And just so happens, we put together our best year. We're fourth in the points at race number 8. And going into Kansas, the 43 car in the cup race, the driver at that time broke his back in a crash. And that was a Ford car. I was driving for Ford at the time. And got on the phone. I was like, I hope he's all right, but I need to be in that ride.
Mm.
I want to fill in, you know, until he gets back. And so agents were working on it. And through all that stuff, it all worked out. By, I think it was race number 11 or 12, we got the call like, hey, it's your time this next weekend at Pocono to drive the 43. But hey, also, you're done racing Xfinity. Like, we're shutting it down. So it's like, you're going to be out of a ride. But for the next 4, you're in. So I was a substitute and put together our best races. It was good. And then they were like, Eric's back. The guy who broke his back, he's back. So thanks for your time. See you later. So I was on the couch. I was on the couch from late July to, was it August or September? It was like 4 or 5 weeks I was on the couch. Then Michigan rolled around and a truck team called. And he was like, hey, we want you to come drive my truck. I was like, okay. And we went out there and we won it. And so it was 3 years of just getting kicked in the dirt. And it was like, boom, we won. I had that one race I won, then I was back on the couch. Mm. So I was like, damn, I know I still got it. We went to work and I got a cup ride the next year, driving the 43. And then the second one, Talladega was big last year, but this past one at Kansas, just because of the way the racing was, we dominated the last third of that race. And we won in that fashion. And it was one of those, it's like, ain't no motherfucker say shit about this one. You know, Talladega was a rain shortened race. We knew it was going to rain. And we drove up to the field and took the lead and rain fell and race was over with.
Hey, not my fault.
Right. But you always had that bullshit. Like, you always had that asterisk beside that. Because you didn't go the full distance. Mm-hmm. Even I put an asterisk beside it. But the races where I was doing bad, I would be like, yeah, you only won that because it rained. You know, I'd become a hater of myself. I'm like my biggest enemy. But also my biggest cheerleader at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And Kansas, I can't even say shit to myself on that one because it's like,
we did it,
right? So that one in 2017 are two high ups.
I got two questions. Are you saying truck team because the truck, the name of the drivers on the truck? Why you keep saying truck team?
So truck series. So there's three levels when you get to NASCAR. So for Ball, I would go maybe high school or JUCO.
Mm-hmm.
And then collegiate ball, and then pros. Okay. Pros Cup, right? Well, we race on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Xfinity is collegiate, and then truck is JUCO high school.
Okay.
And so that's the levels where you get to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a stepping stone. Some kids can come up through because they got money and boom, to the top. But their experience shows.
And I don't know if you answered this already. How many races in the season?
38.
Mm.
38. Two exhibition races. But yeah. 38 races.
Yeah.
Of late, athletes have come out and been brave enough to speak on mental health, which I think is important. It's mm-hmm. it's always been something that's kind of hush-hush or not man enough to really talk about. You've struggled with depression throughout your life. Mm-hmm. How did you get through it? Do you still go through it? What's the process with that?
Yeah, I think I was having a couple of days of depression last week, actually on my birthday. No idea why.
Just comes and goes.
Yeah, that was the first time in a while. But I thought I was like, oh, okay, I'm 29. Like birthdays are just another day to me. But that was on Saturday, and then Sunday we raced at Roval, which is the worst track on the schedule. Every driver would say that, and it's just
what city is that in?
Charlotte. Okay. It's our home race. So we got the big Coke 600, the big race. And then it used to be a smaller race. It used to be the Bank of America 400 on the big track. But now they made it a road course race. And terrible idea. But anyways, that's another story, another day. And historically, never really run well there. And so it was always one of those deals like you show up to a game. It's like, man, I'm going to play like shit today. Mm-hmm. You just always
feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I struggle at road courses in general. But we've gotten better and better. Long story short, qualified decent, start the race really good. In lap 4, I mess up and almost spin out and wreck. I ride in last for the 50% of the race. And then we make it through the wrecks and the carnage and we finish 7th. Like, damn good day. And I got out of the car and I was like, yeah, cool. And I was riding home. I have a motorcycle. I ride Harleys. And I rode my motorcycle home and I was just like, what in the hell's going on? Like, I'm not pumped. I'm not excited. And I was like, yeah.
Kicked in again.
Rest. Just turned 29. Things are great.
Right.
You know, finished 7th at your worst racetrack. Like, so it just happens. And, you know, for me, it's I woke up the next day and hey, pumped. Like, sweet, really? We finished 7th.
Really? Just the next
day? Just like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I don't do anything different. I just know, like, the grass is always green on the other side, and sun's going to wake up, or sun's going to rise tomorrow.
Right.
So that's kind of my mentality going with it. And everybody's different in how they deal with it. And for me, it's turning on that music to help get it out. And then things are good.
In 2020, you and your team made national headlines with, you know, what someone thought was a noose mm-hmm. found in your garage.
Yep.
FBI investigation. A lot of yeah, no. Can you break that, without going too deep into yep. the situation, can you break that down for us and what happened?
Yeah. So Talladega, you know, with everything that was going on, George Floyd, all that, you know, just got rid of the Confederate flag in our sport, and we're going to Talladega. You know, the heightened awareness is at all time high.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, if something's going to happen, then something's going to happen there. And at that time, it was COVID, so we got rid of practice, we got rid of qualifying, we would just show up and race.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting in the bus, Blaney and I, we're sitting in the bus playing 2K or something, and we're like, let's go to dinner soon. Like, all right. So we're about to go get some pizza or something, and I get a call from the president. He's like, hey, what's up? President of NASCAR, Steve Phelps, what's up? Hey, you need your bus? It's like, yeah, sure. See you in a minute. I'm like, oh, shit.
Right.
This office.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, so I go up, pull up like the receipts on my phone. I'm like, what did I tweet?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit. You know, I've gotten in trouble for Twitter a couple times here and there. That's,
join the club.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay. You know, I see him walking. I open up the door for him. Hey, you want a bottle of water? Like, what's up? And it was one of those looks I'll never forget. It was just deadpan, tears in his eyes. And I was like, oh, shit.
Mm.
You know, he told me, you know, crew member found what a noose. And so I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Like, all right. And obviously, long story short, investigated, not a noose, not a threat towards me. Looked just like a noose.
Mm-hmm.
Tied up just like a noose.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Might be the size of your pinky, but it looks like that.
It was a noose. Go ahead.
So, you know, throughout that whole deal, it was just like, damn. You know, and I knew, like, I called my crew member who had found it. And I said, hey, man, you sure? Because I was like, this is going to look
right.
This is going to be bad. And called him. My crew chief called me. He's like, dude, this is fucked up.
Damn.
And I was like, all right.
What did you learn from that? If anything.
That honestly, I don't really know. I mean, you know, you always have to just, you know, keep your head on a swivel and just look out for self, right? Like, that's the important thing with life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hate that whole scenario went down. And now from going from all that, and people think it's a play and a, you know, a plot for me to, you know, oh, he's losing his ride. Like, I was good. I had a really good deal going, right. You know. The results may not have shown that, but we were solid. And so you gained, I'd say, majority of your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also gained a whole new fan base. Not from that, but seeing what all stemmed from it. People show their true colors, right? Even close people.
Mm.
Like, they were like, oh, yeah, that's Bubba for you.
Mm.
It's like, whoa, all right,
damn.
Yeah. And so it's like, all right, you know, I keep my circles tight, and it just got tighter then.
Right.
And that's okay with me. But you know, shit happens, and you grow on and move on from it. And, you know, it made me more aware of my surroundings in everyday life. So like, I'm always, you know, who's here for me and who's not, you know. You go to the track now, and Kyle Busch still gets the most booze, but you know, his is different. You know, my shit is like more personal.
Right.
And so it sucks. But throughout all that, the people that really understand the story and know the facts, like, you have a whole new fan base. And it's been very supportive, and I've been appreciative of it. Because they weed out the bullshit just like I would.
Right.
And they're there for you. So it's cool to have people like that.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Being the only black driver in NASCAR, I remember when Tiger Woods kind of broke that barrier and kind of opened the door and got, you know, a lot of minorities, particularly African Americans, into golf. Do you think about that at the beginning, middle, now? Does it not cross your mind? I know you just want to be known as a racer because that's what you are, but do you ever think about kind of your historical significance in this spot you're in and the ability to encourage the next Bubba Wallace to come along the lines?
I do when we talk about it.
Okay.
You know, like I said, when I was a kid, we just go up, show up and race and win, go home, race and win again, race and lose. We just kept doing that. When I won my first race at Martinsville in 2013, it was like, yes, you know, great job, dude. You did it. You know, you won your first truck race. And then you get out and they're like, Bubba Wallace, first African-American to win. And it's like, oh, shit.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Didn't even cross your mind. No. But now it's...
No, it's there. And so I've my tweet that's pinned since 2017 is, you know, you're not going to stop hearing about the black driver. There's only one. And so accept it, embrace it, and enjoy the journey. Because that's what I've done. Like, yeah, I'm tired of hearing about it.
Right.
But media's got to get their clickbait and all this shit, you know. They're not just going to put Bubba Wallace won a race. People are going to be like, who the hell's that? They put black driver.
Black woo! Guy. Oh, I know the black guy.
Yeah, the viewership goes up.
Got some black friends.
Yeah. My best friend's
how
black.
How many? About four.
But, you know, it is what it is. But I don't, it's not like I, you know, run away from that.
Right.
I accept it.
Head on, right.
Yeah. And try to make it better. And I'll say, everywhere we go now, there's minorities that, you know, that are fans. They're like, hey, man, we're fans because of you. Like, we've never watched NASCAR. And it's super dope. Like, yeah.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I was surprised today when we went to the thing. There was, like, a lot of black people. And it sounds maybe crazy to say it, but I was surprised. We saw, like, a lot of black people working. I'm just like, oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. It's
That was one of the things that my mom at Richmond, we had won Richmond in 2011. And this was more like kind of more like JV football or JV ball. And we won Richmond. And my mom was like, hey, look up in the stands. What do you see? This was after the race. Like, no, they're empty. It's like, no, look. And it was just Hispanics, minorities, black,
really?
Cleaning the stands. And there she was like, they probably have no idea that there's a black kid down here driving.
Mm.
And it was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. And Richmond is in the hood. Mm-hmm. It is right next door to the hood. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible to see now, like I said, 2011, 11 years, like how much that's changed.
Right.
We're doing these deals called Bubba's Block Party. We just did one in Birmingham, which was super dope. We had DJ Manny Fresh out. And Big Crit.
Fresh?
Yeah, Fresh okay. was out. And the crowd was awesome. Nothing but black folk. Like, it was super dope. And they were interested. And they were pumped to see me there.
Right.
But we weren't at the racetrack and I wasn't performing. It was just one of these deals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. Now, this is the real job. How do we get this crowd to
carry over. Yeah. Where's the carryover?
How do we get this crowd? 2,500 people. 2,500.
Let Manny Fresh come DJ that motherfucker. That might be some. It, huh?
So that's the real process of like, okay, we got these people knowing about NASCAR and Bubba Wallace and all of our partners here, but they're still not at the track.
Right.
Right.
Which is, I'd say, the end goal.
Yeah.
Right? So we still got a lot of work to do there. And what that answer is who knows? You know, what is how do we do that? It's a journey, not a destination,
time.
Right?
Right, it's time.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously,
all
I think,
time.
You know, it's on our minds. And like you even said, like I've always known about NASCAR, but I didn't start paying attention until I saw mm-hmm. Someone that's my color. Like we're close. He's stayed in the oven a little longer. But me and you were kind of similar, so I was just like, oh, there's someone.
Hey, true.
No, but I think that's dope. You've always been someone to use your platform to kind of speak on important issues. Talk to us about your project, Live to Be Different.
Yeah, so we're all different, right? You guys can't drive a race car. I can't play ball. We're different. I can attempt to.
Yeah, you can shoot. I'm not even. I can't even get in the car and make it around one time.
I told a buddy of mine that might be in this room. I said, hey, man, you might be able to take pictures and shoot videos. I can do that same shit, too, but you can't drive a race car.
Word.
So just remember that. Remember that when you want to talk, hey, man, my picture's better than yours.
Right.
Yeah, I can do your job. You can't.
Right. Ooh.
Hey.
A little bit of reality.
Yeah. Hey, I just speak facts. But again, we're all different. We're all different. And, you know, is it my purpose in life to be a race car driver? You don't know. Was it your purpose to play ball? You don't know, but you live it out every day to figure out what your purpose is. And it's different from everybody else.
Yeah.
And so as I've always said, live to be different. You're like, you know, I'm different the way I look in the sport. And so I'm not letting that stop me. So I encourage other people to live on life. Have fun with it. Only you can tell yourself no. Right. People are going to try. But you got to be strong enough mentally and physically to say no.
That mental part.
How do you reflect on your career this so far? What anything you want to accomplish? Like on first thing on your mind?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really big to be successful for me. Success breeds everything. Winning means everything.
Winning is everything.
And realizing that there's so much more to life than that. Like I've started to learn that. Like I made a big mistake, and when, you know, I wasn't running well, and I told my fiance, like, hey, racing's always gonna come first. That was a massive mistake. Because racing ain't always gonna be there.
Right.
You know? And understanding that life is super important and the people that you're surrounded with is super important. I started to appreciate that a lot more. And we're in a great spot, better than we've ever been. And so understanding that part of it has been really, really cool. But from the racing side of things, and my career there is, you know, Bubba wins Talladega. It's a massive story. Bubba wins Kansas. It's a massive story. I want to get to the point where it's like, oh, Bubba just won another race.
Bubba got another win.
Yep.
You know?
Bubba did it again.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, okay, that's it. And not be some like, oh, shit. Like, I'd like the text to go from 400 down to 20. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, nice job.
Good job.
That's it. Super appreciative of all 400 people that text me. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those deals. It's like, it's a surprise still. Mm-hmm. It feels like a surprise. And I want it to get it to where it's like a normal occurrence. So,
but you're going through this for someone in 20, 25 years to be able to have it. Just another win.
Just another win. That's it.
Who is Bubba Wallace outside of race?
A homebody. I don't like
to. Xbox, PlayStation,
PC. Yeah.
Are you a PC? So you play Call of Duty?
Oh, I'm on that Warzone stuff.
Okay, let me tell you something, Matt. When somebody say they're on PC, that means they cheating. they got aim bots. I'm talking about they just moving the mouse and shooting people,
you
man.
You got aim assist with the controllers?
Yeah, but it's just so so you know it's easier with the mouse.
Oh, 100%. Oh, control the recoil.
They say Jack just be hiding and try to snipe people. He's not really out there.
I'm good at picking teams.
He's a good leader.
I'm going to pick you and the rest of the guys that's going to do a lot of killing. And I'm just going to call people out and snipe.
Just getting carried.
I'm sniping.
Hey, someone came and played Jack on Call of Duty.
Murray.
On our show.
He threw a knife at me.
And killed Jack with a knife. And Jack
had a
gun.
I didn't know they had knives on the game. I'm shooting everybody. You throw a knife at me?
Yeah, so I'm a big gamer. There's a couple of us that get on just about every night.
Yeah, me too.
9:30, 10 o'clock. It's the, what's up? It's time. I'm like, all right, babe, I got the text. Gotta go.
Killing the chili.
Gotta go.
That's your guy. That's what I was trying to remember what Bonzi was saying.
Bonzi, well, that's our line.
Killing
we
the chili.
Killing the chili.
I love that. Besides that, I'm golfing. I try to golf once or twice a week.
What's your handicap?
A 12.
Okay, you're up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a 12. And it's so frustrating. Shot 87 today.
Okay.
Shot 87. No, we didn't get to finish, so I couldn't get the score. But now I am a hater of myself when it comes to golf. Oh, you don't want to play around me because I just get super fucking mad. I'll enjoy the moment, but I am just mad at myself.
Competitive, just competitive.
You're competitive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what to do. Do it. And I can't do it. So, but yeah, golf and just relaxing at home. Like parties, I'll party all day if it's at my house.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Sounds like it'll be on my house. I'm not going out. Hate the city. Hate traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Just. I live 11 minutes from the airport, get on the plane, go home, race, do all that, come back.
You drive enough. I want to be home too.
Quick hitters coming down to the end of the show. First thing across your mind, let us know top five NASCAR drivers of all time, in your opinion.
Richard Petty,
the GOAT.
Dale Earnhardt, Jimmy Johnson. All 7-time champions. I didn't really pay attention to the older stuff. So people are going to be like, oh, you didn't say like Kelly Yarborough or, you know, Davey Allison.
It's your list.
Yeah. So I got those three. And then right now, current time, Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson.
Stuck on the island. Three shows or movies in rotation.
Friday.
Yeah.
I'm a horror movie fanatic. And Halloween came out today.
The 30th Halloween.
The 30th one. It's going to be ass, but it's all right. I was watching Halloween when I was like 4 or 5. So I grew up on that.
You watch the scary scene. Mine did too. Like a lot of parents, my friends, we couldn't watch it.
We couldn't watch
it. Oh, yeah. Jason, Freddy, all that shit.
All of it.
Yeah.
So Friday, Halloween. Let's go more suspense, like law-abiding citizen.
One night in Vegas on the money line card.
Woo.
Means everything is on the house. They got a lot of money over there.
Ooh.
Three people you'd bring with you, past or present. A night in Vegas. And you're not a partier, but tonight you're going to fucking party because it's on money line.
Swipe it.
Let's see. Who would I bring?
Bobby Lou.
Present. That's tough.
Dead or alive. One night in Vegas.
Yeah. One night in Vegas. I'm going to have to go with... I said Friday, so I'm going to have to go with Tucker.
Smokey? Okay.
Yeah, Smokey.
Smokey Sowers too.
And then who's another solid one? I would have to probably invite Wayne out. Wheezy.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. And then Gucci. The third, I'd party with MJ. I'd invite MJ out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just speaking tequilas and cigars, so that's
not a bad third. Exactly. Not a bad third.
Yeah. I heard he got some good tequila too.
Yeah, it ain't bad. If you like that, and I don't like that.
If you like that. Any pre-race routines you got?
Our schedules are so like compact now, and we try to time it out to where I'll have like 45 minutes to an hour after all of our meet and greets and stuff at the track to go back to the bus, eat, shower if you need to, but just get ready. But I'll put music on. I'll put music on and go to the back room of the bus and blast it. To zone out. So it's funny. I always tell the new people that I meet, it's like when y'all see me at the track, you know, doing the meet and greets, it's, hey, what's up? How are you? You know, everything's great. Like, welcome out. But then when you see me again, like, no disrespect, but I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so different for us. Like, 2 hours before game, you guys are in the locker room, you know, getting prepped. We're signing autographs, kissing babies. We're doing all that stuff. And even before we throw a leg in the car, we're still doing that shit.
Mm.
So it's always,
that's tough.
Always in the moment. You guys get to see that on Sunday.
Yeah. How fast do you get in and out of the pits? On average.
Average. So the pit stops alone. If you can bust off an 8.5, it's getting 8 seconds.
Really? Eight. Like a change of blown tire, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, blown tire is different because you got to get the car up. But if it's a come in and a clean stop and everybody executes, it's 8.5 to 9 seconds.
Wow.
And the slowest, there's some teams that, you know, maybe developmental teams that are, doing 14, 15 seconds, but you got no shot.
Every second.
Yeah. And that's changing all four tires and what else?
And fuel. Four tires and fuel.
Filling up.
That's
filling
it.
All the way up.
Yeah. And so if you ask for an adjustment, that slows down your time by a tenth, a few tenths.
Can't have it.
No. So you have to be spot on every time. So 8.5, I think, is our fastest recorded stop.
That's dope.
It's not ours, but in the sport with this new car. Because it used to be 10 seconds, but we've gone from 5 lug nuts to 1 lug nut. So you think about that time, it decreased that time. So it took 3 seconds off of the deal.
Now here's the real question. 5 dinner guests, dead or alive? You plus 5.
Okay, so there's 2 sitting in the room right here, right?
Word.
Shameless plug, right? Got to
do that. My boy. We're going to have a good time. That's I'm going right. to make sure.
It's on money line.
And I'm on security.
let's go with, let's go with Prince.
Ooh.
Prince, let's go with him. Let's go with, I think it'd be awesome to sit there and have a conversation with old Obama.
Oh.
Have a drink, have a mm-hmm. cocktail. One more. Kobe.
Good call.
There you go.
I'm bringing the wheat.
If you could see one guest on All the Smoke, Michael Jordan, who would it be? Before you answer the question, you have to help us get your answer on the show.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah. I'll see if I can make a phone call. Get MJ on the show.
Oh, Michael. Mike, that's a great idea. Yeah. Mike, yeah, of course. What made you think of Mike? I didn't even think of that. Mike, yes. Yeah, Mike, of course.
I'll put in a word.
We both Team Jordan, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Mike, come on through.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, Bubba, man, we appreciate your time. Best of luck this weekend. We're going to be out there cheering for you.
Yeah.
Man, best of luck the rest of the season. I know it's coming down to an end. Jack, you got something to give him.
Oh, shit. What we got? Hey, let's go.
You can sit while you're playing COD.
Yeah.
On the Talk About All the Smoke shirt.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Are you chilling or killing? He said you could take that line. Killing.
That's dope. I love it. Thanks, fellas.
Once again, Bubba Wallace, big shout out, Moneyline, Blue Wire Studios, The Wynn Hotel. You can catch us on Showtime Basketball, YouTube, and the iHeart platform, Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Good show.
Good job, y'all.
Sweet.
Good job, everybody.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.